Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 697. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order?
No, unless it's set up. Unless it's completely staged and the McDonald's is actually closed. Okay.
Well, here's the thing about that. I mean, even aside from, it's like, it's always a wonder with this guy, because apparently at some point he thought like the McDonald's people just dipped their hands into the fryers to take out the fries.
Yes.
Wait, did he reach into a hot fryer?
No. Uh-huh. He, at some point he was like, oh, just stick your hand, right? Oh, you use a thing. Oh, no mess. Oh, so, it's so clean.
Yeah, so, like, well, he thought that they did, so, like, you know, when you take the fries out of the fryer, you throw them into, like, that hot, like, that area where they just stage them, they throw some salt on them, and they scoop the fries out and put them in the container. He thought that they just reached in with their hands and stuffed them by hand.
Oh, God, ew.
Yes.
Ew, don't touch my french fries.
And they don't, it turns out.
I mean, to be fair, he's never done anything that, like, well, a, I mean, person and that's like that would do.
Yes, he's never, like, there's a lot of stuff. Again, like, that. Not only that, that means he's never picked up his own McDonald's. Because it's not hidden.
Right.
You see how the fries go in the thing.
And yes. He is, like, he's known for eating McDonald's. Like, it's one of his, like, things.
He said it at the White House.
Yes, it means he's, even before the White House, like, it was like the meal that he ate. Like, he has McDonald's all the times. It's just kind of strange. Like, he must never, ever go in himself.
But that's what I mean. Like, clearly, he did not go in to ever pick it up, because you see that, like, because you, I mean, if you've been to McDonald's, I'm sure we've all have. And you know, like, you want to see that, because you know, like, oh, the fries are made fresh, because you see them put it in. And then they sprinkle the salt on, like, three or four dashes.
Yeah. Yeah. That McDonald's that he filmed that whole stunt show.
They had to shut it down.
They shut it down. It's actually, it's a McDonald's. I don't go to that McDonald's, but it's, like, 5 minutes up the road from me. I guess he is trying to court Bucks County, Pennsylvania, very hard.
Yeah.
He's been here multiple times, so has Vance. It's like, please go away.
Well, I mean, the stupid thing about it, really, was that this mostly came up because, you know, Kamala has mentioned in several of her speeches that, you know, she's middle class and, like, one of her first jobs was at McDonald's. And, of course, yeah. The, like, right-wing people are like, oh, there's no proof that she worked at McDonald's. I mean, I don't know how you get proof that you work at McDonald's. Their thing is, like, she didn't put it on her resume. Even if I mean, I can say I've never worked fast food.
Like, what resume, though?
Yes. Like, the only time, like, people are going to care is, like, if you're trying to Burger King or Wendy's.
Yeah.
Right. Like I don't put that I worked at the Shopping Bag on my resume either. Like,
right.
For 6 months when I was 17. Like,
especially as an attorney.
Like, right. When does that, but what come does up? That mean? Yeah. Yeah. But then again, when was the last time Donald Trump had to, like, apply for a job? Like, does he know what his resume looks like? Like, what would be on there?
Well, he's never had a job. I mean, an actual,
that's true.
Right, he's never had a job. He's always worked for himself.
President of the United States was actually a job. That's probably, like, the one thing that would be on his resume.
Yes. I mean, the other thing would be on his resume, but, like, he worked for himself. He was the employer. Like, yeah. There's no, like, yes, I'm sure all of us, again, we've all, like, you know, there's a, I mean, I was going to say a million ways to do a resume. I'm sure I have a million copies of my resume, probably still in my email box from applying for jobs and changing out, you know, like, things, but I never, ever, it's like putting, like, your, yeah, again, I never worked fast food, but, you know, I've done, like, high school jobs, for lack of a better term, like, the ones you do when, you know, you need money over the summer. So, like, retail fast foods, it tends, you know, here in the city, I don't know if other, you know, we have SYEP, which is summer youth employment, which tends to be a lot of people who just hire kids for, like, 6 weeks out of the summer, and, like, junior high and high school. And I'm like, yeah, this comes to a point where I'm like, I'm not going to put that. Why would I put that on my resume? I guess if I'm desperate for experience. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, Earl is here, as we know.
And you know what? This podcast, we know all this, but I got to be sure of this. So, yes, I did not see any of this town hall. That was the only thing I saw from Van Jones after the fact. I don't know if either one of you know that. Not the Van Jones, but the whole, I guess Kamala had a town hall, a CNN town hall yesterday.
I believe so, yes.
And they were comparing the fact that, it isn't a comparison. he gets kitty gloves and she has to be perfection every time she speaks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like he says, like it's even with Biden, right? Like he says dumber shit than Biden ever said, and nobody questions his fucking intelligence on primetime television. Like, Biden makes a misstep, and CNN and MSNBC are like, oh, does he have dementia? And Trump's eating shit out of a bowl and on stage and dancing and that's normal.
That's the other thing.
The dancing town hall?
Yes.
Yes, yes. They like promised he was going to get up there and speak, and then all he did was like play music and like dance around.
It's one of those
three different versions of Ave Maria.
It's one of those things where like, you see it and I'm like, okay, it's probably. I don't watch any of his stuff, heaven forbid. But like you hear about it, like, okay, it can't be as, maybe if it works. No, it's like literally him dancing around to random music for what, 36 minutes?
Yeah.
Yep. And that was the entirety of the content. That was all that happened.
I think he took two or three questions before that, and then he danced around.
Well, the questions were like, let's move on to the music. Like it was literally like,
That was the last one. That was maybe the best one, though. He's like, maybe we take another. You guys want me to take another question? The crowd cheers, and he's like, all right, let's take. You know what? Just play the next song.
Yes, and it's insane. And I had this conversation somewhere else. Is that he has this thing where he's just able to shovel so much shit out at once that it becomes almost, and this is the thing I don't get about people who like somehow forgot his presidency, where there's just like 50 different things going on at once, so like nothing sticks, because like you mentioned that, and that was like, that might have been like either last Thursday or Friday, and the fact that like a week later I'm like, oh right, that did happen. Because he's done something else insane in that time.
Yeah, he followed that up with McDonald's 2 days later.
And then was Coachella last week or the week before?
I think that was the week before where, yeah, he bust people out to the fucking desert to hear him talk and then left them out there. I don't know how people don't look at that and go, yeah, like he's a shitbag, like
right, or like they're talking to their friends, they're talking to their supporters, and or not even their supporters, like their friends, their family, who like maybe are Trump supporters, and one of them's like, that dude left me out in the middle of the desert. Like, I kind of get like a Trump supporter, a hardcore conservative, probably isn't going to talk to one of us,
right?
But like, right. Those are his people he's leaving out there. Do they not talk to each other?
Right.
The thing is, so much they do, and then they somehow justify that, because originally it wasn't his fault.
It proved my manhood. That's what it did. I was out in the desert and I came back. Trump made me a man.
it was the bus company's fault. It was the venue's fault.
Yeah.
It was everybody's fault but his. And then no, it came out like, they did not do it because they refused to pay them. And it's not a talking point. It is a point of conversation that has come up time and time again. He refuses to pay a lot of people who do services, and they continue to do services for him.
Well, a lot of them don't. Like a lot of the companies that are people who've worked with him refuse to work with him ever again. They yeah. do it once, they learn the lesson, they move on. America, hopefully, has also learned that lesson. We'll find out in a couple weeks. Hope.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not too far off. I will be happy when the non-stop political ads stop. So.
I was gonna say, not even a couple of weeks or 12 days away.
Yes, very, very, very close.
I mean, this podcast in 2 weeks can be very depressing. So,
well, we may not, by then we may not even know the result.
Yeah. So I think last time we kind of had an idea of
yeah
where it was going. It's just I think everybody wanted to wait until actual numbers matched up with reality. Because yeah. it was very much a point where I think people were like, yeah, Biden's going to take Pennsylvania and Arizona and Nevada. But they were all waiting for, essentially, I think it was like once one of them was called, then all the networks just started to call all of them for him. But yes, I'm not looking forward. I mean, I shouldn't say anything. I'm actually not even in this country for election. So
Earl's not coming back. He's
I mean,
gonna see the result and then make a decision.
Yep, that does remind. That reminds
me. Stay here.
Mind you, I'm not here the next 2 weeks.
Then we can become an international podcast. I like that idea.
Yeah, we shall see. Well, next week is different. Next week's Halloween, which is an actual Thursday. I do want to go out, and then the week after, I shall be in Barbados for a friend's 40th birthday.
Fun.
Ooh, where are you going to Barbados?
I don't know. We're going to a an
resort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called the Club.
Interesting. I love all inclusive resorts. It's so nice to just.
I've never been.
Not have to worry about. Oh.
But this one we're mostly going to. Well, not mostly where we're going, but it is no kids. So.
Yeah, we do that. We do like sandals. So it's just, I mean, it's sandals is a couple's resort, but like no children. So nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited now that I got overpaying for it. You folks did not get to have to hear about all my woes about hating to pay all my friends did. But yeah. Yeah.
Well, before Earl heads off to Barbados, I believe we played some games this week, or Tony tried and just watched cutscenes. tell us about MechWarrior 5 Clans. Is that what
Clans.
It is?
MechWarrior 5 Clans. I haven't played that much of it. The reason I haven't played that much of it, we'll get to in a little bit. But so I talked about it a little bit last week. So I played some more of it, and I enjoyed the gameplay. It's fun to play. It's great to like pilot those mechs around. The controls are great. It feels like a great mech warrior game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like the problem I've always had with a lot of Japanese games. Which is that the balance between the gameplay and the cutscenes is off so much. Like you sit and you watch so much of it that you get bored. And the cutscenes in this game are atrocious. Ooh. Like they look good, but the acting is horrific. Like bad. Also, I don't know if it was like an error on my computer. Or whatever, but on a few of them, the voice acting doesn't match. Like it's off from the lip syncing of the character.
Oh.
Now, is it like because it's dubbed? Or?
I don't think so. Because in some of them it's fine, and some of them it isn't. God, the acting is terrible. They stop and random. Last week I was complaining about how they made fun of a guy for using a contraction because it wasn't like how planned people are supposed to speak, but like they all speak in really like halting tones. it's like the acting is also overwrought and so badly done. So when we were getting onto this podcast, I'd been sitting in a cutscene for about 10 minutes. And the only reason I was sitting in the cutscene was because you need to get through the cutscene to like get to the save point. Like it auto saves when the cutscene is over. Because I had finished the mission I was in, which was fun. I really enjoyed the mission. It was great. It's like you're going through like clan proving. And so to do that, you need to like best somebody else in a one-on-one battle. But your guy doesn't want to be just a normal member of the clan. He wants to be a leader, in which case he needs to win a one-on-one battle and then take his damaged mech and fight another mech and beat it. Which is a different, this is how the game begins. Like this is like a one-on-one battle in this like arena. And it's a tough fight. Like the first fight kind of wears you down, and now you're going into the second battle and you're low on ammo and your mech is damaged. So it's kind of, and the mech you're fighting is not. So it's kind of a fun way to begin the game.
Yeah.
But so I win that second fight, and then I'm waiting for the cutscene to be over, and I'm waiting. And I will cop to this. I definitely skipped through the cutscene at the end. I gave up. Like I'm not watching this anymore. I am done. So I think it dropped me into this part. It was pretty clear that like now the clans are invading somebody. I have no idea what's going on because I skipped through everything because I could not listen to it anymore. Which I love stories and games. I'd never do this. I put up with anything, and this was too much. It was too bad.
That's not great. Like no, because now you're just like you're just hoping that the gameplay carries you forward.
Yes. And I mean, I unlocked like mech customization. Like I can customize. Like, you're the head of a star, which is a group of five mechs, and you like can customize the other mechs. So you can like build them into a unit where their skills like match each other, maybe Compliment. Have some melee mechs, and yeah. So I'm excited to get to that part of it because that all seems super cool. I am not excited to get through the rest of the story. I mean, maybe the events in the story are fun, but like they already killed off one character. I'm like, I didn't care. I couldn't understand this guy before. He seemed really annoying, and now he's dead, and I don't care.
So he wasn't that important to begin with.
Right. Like, oh, he died. And your character's like reaction is like so stilted, and then immediately moves on to like celebration because he passed his trial, even though his friend is now dead. So that's Mech Warrior. If you like piloting mechs, it's great. If you're looking for a story, don't play Mech Warrior.
That is on Game Pass, right?
It is on Game Pass, yes. One of the other interesting things about this is it has 5-player co-op.
It's a weird number.
Because it's a Star of Mechs, which is 5.
Okay, yeah.
So I have not tried the co-op, but I'm sure I can talk someone into it. So
did you play Mercenaries? That's the other MechWarrior 5 game.
Yeah, I always tell this. I think I told the story last time how I got like bugged in the tutorial and couldn't.
Yeah, and you didn't continue on with it.
Yeah, I may go back. Since I'm enjoying the gameplay, maybe the other parts of that game are better.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, weird that there's two games that have come out 3 years apart that are both called MechWarrior 5.
Yeah. I am going to play more of it. Like I have. Even though I skipped through the cutscenes, like the actual gameplay is fun, and I'm looking forward to like designing my mech according to my specifications. It took me a while. One of the problems I was having was it took me a while to figure out the controls, like which weapon group was which on my mouse. My mouse has, you know, it has 4 buttons, one for each weapon group. There are 4 groups, and I kept hitting the wrong ones. Which is really annoying if you're like, you have somebody in your sights for a long range missile attack and then you try to punch them.
Just like throwing a punch out there. Like, no.
And it's like, I don't play a lot of games like this. So I don't have like I haven't trained myself to use four weapons at once. It's not really something I do a whole lot. And like, I don't have like a scheme in mind. Like I know people who play a lot of these games are like, okay, I'm going to remap the controls because this is the button I always use for melee. I don't have that. This game is different from the games I normally play. So that was kind of frustrating. And then which button is the melee button? And then I noticed I'd mapped two buttons to the same thing and I couldn't fire my missiles. So both of them were melee. It was the whole thing.
Like, it's not this button. Maybe it's no, that's punch two.
Just kick puncher.
Yeah, and then I died, and I shamed the clan, and had to restart the mission. Of course, I deserve to shame the clan if I was trying to shoot missiles and was punching. Kind of, that's shameful behavior.
Fire missile, all right, punch. Fire missiles, punch. Like, guys, I didn't set the missile button.
Yeah, it is interesting that like the mech combat is fun, like the use of terrain. Because you could like kind of like sit your mech out in the open and it'll just get pummeled, even though you got this like giant machine of death. It's still very much a hide behind cover, peek out, shoot, get back behind cover type deal with the mechs, which I had forgotten. Like how much terrain and mobility and getting things between you and your enemy mattered in this sort of game.
You play anything else this week?
So the reason I play it's a little mech warrior is because I had bought a new set of AirPods. My AirPods had died.
Mm-hmm.
And it came with a 4-month free subscription to Apple Arcade, which I've had an iPhone for a long time, but I try not to play games on it. Like I like to play games in other places. I was like, all right, fine. I was bored one night. I'll activate it. And there's this game on the Apple Arcade. You may have heard of it. It's called Balatro.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I played so much Balatro in the past, like, 5 days. That game is cocaine.
I heard.
I don't... I know you guys are super high on it. And I do really like it. I there are some things about it that annoy me.
Sure, it annoys everybody.
But I can't stop playing it.
Yeah, it's like I could do it better the next time.
Yeah, exactly. And you immediately hop into the next run. But like, even if I play super well, like the randomness of the Jokers kills me. Like, I want a little bit more control over that portion of it because it determines the game so much.
Yeah. Yep.
All of it is so randomized that I know even if I play well, like so much of the game is determined by luck. Kind of drives me a little bit nutty. So at some point I'm going to get frustrated with it and stop, but
you won't. It will drive you batty because you like, I have the best combination of Jokers this round and somehow it's not somehow the cards I needed. And then like, okay, I need this combination. And then it's like,
oh, but if you play a flush, it sets all your money to zero. And you're like, I'm going to try not to play a flush. But if I don't play a flush, I can't beat the boss blind.
The boss blinds I hate the most are like, you can only play one type of...
I hate the most is like, you can only play one...
One of one type of hand, right?
So you can only play one. There's like ones where it's like, you can only play one.
Yeah, but it always reduces the amount on the actual...
The blind, yeah.
And with that, like, you can use all of your discards to, like, put together the perfect hand, which you don't normally do.
Sometimes. Because, again, you can get a joker where it's like, oh, you have no things yet, so we're going to give you a bonus.
Well, don't use those jokers. Like, they're the jokers that eliminate the other joker. Like, there are so many jokers where I'm just like, why does this one exist? I don't want a joker that's going to, in 3 rounds, delete all my other jokers, especially that one over there, which every time I play this kind of card gets stronger. Like, why would I want a joker that's going to delete that one? I don't know. It's super. I mean, it's great. I'm not denying its greatness. I've really played so much of it. And it is fun.
Glad you are enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm still plugging away at it. Like sometimes I get a really good run and sometimes I'm like, I just want to throw it across the room.
Yeah. every so often, I'm just like, you know what, it's been a while. I'm just go back in. And then it's like 3 hours later, it's like, oh no, not again.
Well, that's the thing that's the reason I need to stop playing it, is like, you just look up and time is gone. And like, and I'm so used to like the games I normally have on my phone. You play for like 5 minutes and then you put them down. Like, I can't have a game where I'm sitting on my phone for 3 hours.
Good news is, Tony, you could play that game ever.
I know. Now I can.
Well, I'm glad that you have played a bit of Balatro. I know that
is it OE Touch on mobile, or I guess there's no. I mean, I guess there could be keyboard support, but
and I don't also, think. I mean, I don't have a keyboard on my phone, so
I assume you know this, but I always feel like it's always worth telling people that you can rearrange the jokers.
Oh yeah, no, I've been. You can rearrange not just the jokers, but the hand you're playing.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because order of operation is is very important.
Extremely having those multipliers at the end.
Yes.
What those going off at last? Although I have noticed if you have too many multipliers, you can't get your number high enough to multiply in the begin with. So.
Oh, you mean if it's all at the bottom, you need like something to. Like, yeah, that's why. Again, you kind of want a combination of both multipliers and additions. Because that's really where it came in handy for me. Is like at some point you wanted to make sure that you could actually, because additions at the end don't do anything. And you get addition, it's like, this is times 3, then plus 5. I'm like, oh, I needed this plus 5. Because plus 5 times 2 is more than times 2 plus 5.
There's that one joker I like, though, that the one that adds 5 chips to every card every time they're played.
And then they have.
If you can get that at the beginning of your run, you could do some damage.
There's a couple joker. I mean, there's so many, but there's a few jokers that I've seen that like, oh, if you play, you know, a pair, we're gonna give you plus 1 chip each time.
And you're like, fuck you. That one's terrible.
But as it adds up, like you can get it up to like 27. 30, like, you know, each time you play a pair, and it's like, well, then you're incentivized to like play pairs and like look for jokers that like give bonuses on pairs as well. And there's some strategy it's also so super random.
One of the things I said when it came out is like, it's such an interesting game because in some ways, it helps if you don't know poker that well, because like, yes, you sometimes end up being like, oh, like my go-to hand tends to be two pairs because it's easier to get four cards that are similar. And then you can get a bunch of like, you know, you get like that, you get that, what are they called? Not the vouchers where it's like, okay, the type of, there's so many different types of cards. The planets.
Celestial cards.
Celestial. Yeah. Like you play, I'm like, okay, so like at some point I'm like, I have like, you know, I could have 18, 2 pairs. It's like, you know, like 2 2s and 2 4s are giving me like 100,000 points by default. And you can get, you know, all types of jokers where it's like, if your hand's just in 4 cards, if your hand contains, like this is something if it contains a pair, so 2 pairs would count for that. So like I had that, I was running the table and then like, you know, you add the higher graphs or the falls to your joker. You could run the table and then you get that one thing where it's like, all your diamonds are nerfed and it's like, I've been working on a diamond deck and then you ruin the run.
No.
Yeah.
It's usually spades for me, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I always try to like build what I'm doing around the jokers that I get, but sometimes you just get fucked. Like you're like, you get the one where it'll make every face card play twice. And then you'll get another one where, oh, every face card gets plus 5 multiplier. And then you'll hit the boss blind. It'll be like, oh, face cards are all disabled.
Yeah. Or I also hate the
I will say the one you guys brought up earlier this year that you didn't like was when all the cards were face down.
Yeah, Don's going to bring that up again.
Yeah.
There are so many, like, if you shuffle around the cards, like, you switch between the suit and the rank, like, how they're ordered. Like, you could figure it out. Just need, like, a couple cards in there, especially if it's later in your run and your deck is, like, balanced in a certain way. Like, maybe you've, like, been aiming for hearts or spades or whatever, so there's more of that. It gets really easy to figure it out.
Well, that is Balatro. We've now all played it. We all seem to like it.
Yes. Another contender of the year. But...
Earl, what have you been playing?
Well, one, I finally got off my ass and I was like, you know, it's time to finish the fight. So I did finish Echo.
You played Halo 3?
I have played Halo 3. I've played Halo 3 several times. It's a great game. Though, have I ever shared my stupid, embarrassing story with that? Is that Fear of Reach? I think it's 3, but that's neither here nor there. But maybe that's a topic for another podcast, like really terrible gaming moments. Or very proud gaming moments, or maybe both. But yes, I played Echoes of Wisdom. I had mentioned before that I was like so near the end that I didn't want to like wrap the game up, so I kind of put it on the shelf. But I'm like, let me do this because I want to kind of move on to other games. And I was really near the end. I pretty much had the final boss left, so I just ran through that. It is interesting. I mean, spoilers. No, I won't spoil it. But it does kind of change up your strategy after, you know, like the rest of the game. So it's interesting to kind of see it in that regard. And for, you know, the big bad, I get it. Like, it's Null. No spoilers there. Not like anybody knows what Null is, but it's just kind of like, it's a giant purple blob. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, oh, okay. That's a boss, I guess. But yeah, like I said before, you know, the final boss aside, and the final boss is fine. It was solid, but like it was really just kind of at the end. I do think right now, easily one of my favorite Zelda games of all time. I think, you know, top contender for game of the year, really worth it. So I wrapped that up. I'm like, okay, what's next? What's new? So I'm like, instead of like, you know, I was like going to Game Pass or whatever, I'm like, you know, might as well dip into the games I actually do own. I started it for two reasons. One we'll get to in news, but I think Jeff was high on it, and I think we were when we played the demo, Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown.
Yeah.
So I started that. One, forgetting that the demo does kind of power you up a lot to go through, but also to Tony's point, it's a kind of talky game to begin with. Because there's a lot of like you go and you meet all these side characters who I assume eventually will become bosses you have to fight and whatever, or give you their, you know, die and give you their abilities. But yeah, it's very early in the game, very much still kind of exploring. I think I'm about to go find a guy who gives me the bow and arrow. I know I'm going to find a guy who gives me the bow and arrow. They are not subtle about it. But again, I have the movement. You know, combat, I'm still working on my timing for parries, but the combat's really solid. I will say this much, though, and I think I said this with the demo, and I said this when I played Evil West, I do not like a game that has you use all of these different button combinations, because, like, to parry, you press L, F trigger, but to activate your, like, special charge move, you hold down L trigger, and then you press the attack button. So what happens a lot of times is I try to parry, which opens it up, and then I hit the attack button, and the game's like, you did it too quickly. Here's your special attack. I didn't want to waste on this enemy that was already dying. So that's a minor pet peeve of mine, but I will work on timing a bit more. But yeah, it's a really charming game, really fun. You know, I will hurt some people's feelings. I picked the, because you can go in and you can pick a, either like a guided map tour or like no map tour. I'm like, I don't have time anymore to like try to like, oh, right, No. If the game's going to put me in directions I need to go, put me in the directions I need to go. I would explore on my own, but if it's telling me, like, this is where you need to go for the next checkpoint, I'm like, that's where I'm going for the next checkpoint. I will find
it. I always do that in any game that has that feature. I'm always like, why am I wasting time just trying to figure out where things are?
Mm-hmm.
Send me where I want to be.
That was how I played too, Earl. Like I played with the, like, at least point me in the direction that, so like if I inevitably like go exploring or whatever, I then know where I need to go when back. I'm done.
Yes, and that's exactly my thing. I am one of those people who will run around the map and there's like a tiny shiver that is still grayed out. I'm like, I've got to get that corner. But like, I need to know, like, at the end of the day when I'm finished running around, where do you want me to go? Because I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, there's a room like 5 rooms back, 3 rooms up, and to the left that might be where I can open up now.
Right.
So, no, that, so like, yes, I did that. I'm like, I was so happy it was an option. I think it's one of the reasons why, you know, don't always replay those old Metroid games. It's like, you have to remember where all these things go. But yeah. And, you know, more Borderlands. And then I think I've explained this before. I think I probably started up trying the original now. So I played two and four with a friend. So we went back to the original, which he's never played. But, I mean, after playing 2, 3, and 4, these games all pretty much stay the same. It's the same 3 characters. It's the same kind of puzzles. They're fun. They're very fun co-op games, but they are not. They do not change that between the 4 versions I've played, except for 3. I think 3 is like a full 3D version. But other than that, 1, 2, and 4 are pretty much the same game with different coats of paint.
Yeah, they're just they're like side-scrolling puzzle platformers, right?
Yeah,
like, yeah. I'd never played 3, but all right. Well, glad you enjoyed Zelda and. Touching on Prince of Persia, which we, as you mentioned, we'll get to in news, but it does have some not nice news about it. So
yeah, I also assume it's also one of those games that may or may not come up a game of the year, at least in conversation.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff in there. So, played a couple things this week. I did play a little bit more Zelda. I finished the. What's it, the Gerudo Desert area.
Yeah.
So I did that one, and now I'm up in the Zora, I think, like the fish people.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's very much like the Gerudo Desert, where it's like, to get into the temple you need to get into, you need to, like, do a bunch of stuff first.
Side quest.
Yeah. So currently I'm, like, running around trying to get the two chiefs to get together so they can play some music or something. And that continues to be quite fun. I have quite the assortment of echoes now. Both areas give you quite a bit. But I haven't played a ton of that. What I did play all of, actually, is the Dark Pictures Anthology, The Devil and Me. That is, it's the fourth of the Dark Picture games. I think I mentioned last week, it's kind of themed around H.H. Holmes and his I think they call it the Murder Castle, but it was a hotel in Chicago that, like, he murdered a bunch of people in. And so the premise of this one is you are filming a documentary on H.H. Holmes, and you get invited out to an island where somebody has, like, kind of recreated.
Wait, you're talking like the Devil in the White City guy?
I believe so.
Yeah. In Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was up, like, one of the first, if not the first, he was one of the first serial killers in the U.S. And he killed a bunch of people at the Chicago's World Fair.
Yeah.
Like, that was where kind of, like, he got caught.
Eric Larson, the guy who wrote The Devil in the White City, which is the book about him, it's like one of my favorite authors. He's written a bunch of books about various things like that. They're all super cool.
Oh, okay. Might have to check that out. But yeah, so like that's the premise, is like you're filming this documentary on it. You get invited out to this island where somebody has like a bunch of H.H. Holmes memorabilia, and they've done like a recreation of some of the rooms of the hotel. Turns out they've done more than a little bit than a couple of the rooms. They have done the entire hotel, and you know, in this fictional universe, and it is like a giant murder castle. So, you know, it's a super massive game. You're trying to, you know, it's a movie basically. You're playing through you're picking dialogue choices. You're doing some quick time events. And you're trying to keep your team here alive. I think it's one of the... I like it the most, like, the story-wise, I like it the most out of the Dark Picture games. I think Earl's played a couple of these.
Yeah, I played the first two, I want to say. The one on the ship.
Man of Medan, and then Little Hope.
Yeah.
The one in the town.
Yeah.
None of these end well. Like, I think the endings are all not great, and this one maybe ends a little bit better than those, but it's like super cliche. Like the killer is almost like Jason at the end, where they keep harming him and he keeps coming back. Somehow they're like speeding away from the island on a boat, and somehow he is, you know, coming up from out of the water on the side of the boat for the final confrontation. it's what you expect from a slasher film, but it's also completely stupid. So, I thought it was fun though. I thought the, you know, performances were good. The story's pretty good. The puzzles are decent. Yeah, it's a good one of those. And then on top of that, do you guys remember the XCOM shooter?
The XCOM shooter?
So it was on the 360 and PS3. It's called The Bureau.
Oh, yes. Okay. That I remember. The name is...
The Bureau XCOM Declassified. I believe it's on sale. It was on sale for $3 last week.
Oh, it's nice.
back to 20, but I finally, like, I've been plugging away at some achievements and stuff, and that game came up. It's like, hey, here's like an easy achievement for it, so I popped that in, and then I decided to finally finish that game. That game's pretty good. The gameplay is like Mass Effect, so you have a team of three. You can bounce between any of them, but you generally control like the leader, and the leader can then assign actions to your squad mates. And then like you know, act in third person shooter. So you just left trigger, shoot. You have a couple different weapons, very Gears of War kind of style. I had always, like, I think I'd played when it came out, played like the first mission. I was like, I don't know. I wasn't in the mood for it at that point, so I never continued on with it. And it has a pretty decent story. As you're playing, like the base is kind of building out, kind of how you would in actual XCOM, like your home base. You're not doing any of the base building, but like it's building out as like you would progress in an actual XCOM game. And the actual gameplay is kind of fun. Like, it's you go on missions. There are like side missions that you can do too. And I guess in an actual XCOM game, those side missions would lower like the threat level. Like, there's no threat level here. You can just advance to the next big story bit. But they have like the side missions, and you can send other agents out on quests, and they'll gain experience. And your squad mates that aren't the lead, so you play as this guy Agent Carter, or yeah, I believe that's his name. And if the he can't die, but everybody else can. So like your squad mates are they can get permadeath. So if they die in on a mission and they bleed out, like you lose.
Oh, they're dead.
Yeah. So you have to then like, so you want to be sending your squad mate. You want to your roster of agents. You want to send them out on missions so they level up so that you are able to, have qualified agents to go with you on the missions. I'm at the very, very end of the game currently. And, I don't like how it's ending. It's one of those ones where it's like, oh, here's the final area. And we're just going to, it's going to be like wave after wave after wave of enemies. And I think I got to wave 5 and died. So I like restarted it. That's where I'm at right now. But you know, the game is consistently on sale for like $3 or $5. Kind of fun to like look at. It fits a little bit into like aliens kind of fit into spooky season. So
it does. I mean, I feel like monsters sometimes get the short end of the stick when it comes to spooky season. But they're the OGs. Frankenstein, Wolfman, Mummy, like OG monsters. They are the original. We just got Killers and Real World Horrors now. But I wish I knew it was three. I'm always down to try a new game for $3. Especially a cover-based shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm curious.
Keep it on.
How do I... Because you said it's from the 360 era, so there's two gens that have passed.
Yep.
Does it feel dated in that regard, or does it feel like, oh, we kind of started to get a hang on this near the end of the 360 era? I mean, like, not the first one, but the one I really think, Gears of War is kind of like the first one I think of that. It's like, okay, we kind of understand cover shooters, we kind of understand third-person shooters now. Does it feel like that, or does it feel like, oh no, we are still trying to learn the ropes somewhat?
Yeah, so this game was at 2013, so like right at the tail end of the 360. I feel it is not Gears. Like, I mean, it has some of like those same mechanics, like hold A to you kind of do like a roadie run. But I definitely feel it plays more like Mass Effect. So it's not quite as tight as like a Gears of War. But Mass Effect, especially 2, which is what I would probably compare it most to, was pretty good, like, shooting-wise. So, yeah, this one's pretty decent. Like, it's not like, oh, this is ancient, this is hard to play because it's old. Like, no, it plays pretty decently. And then you get more skills as you like level up. So, and your squad mates do as well when they level up. So you'll fill out like a special attack wheel or whatever that you can bring up at any time. So like there's a little bit of like stop, like I'm going to do this, set up a bunch of actions and then do the actual shooting. The actual shooting, it feels fine.
Okay, I only bring this up because I don't even think I dug deeper into it, but I saw a question that was fascinating, where people were like, aside from graphics, do you think like, you know, like, especially like the PS2 GameCube and Xbox era, gameplay wise, have held up? And I do think there's a lot of games that hold up in that generation and beyond, because I think the ones that are kind of, I don't want to say iffy, would be like the PlayStation 1, the N64, and the Saturn, where it's like, we are trying to figure out what the hell we do in 3D.
Yes.
I know people swear by them now, and people are miss them, but like Resident Evil and Tomb Raider with your controls just do not hold up to me at all. I don't think they were great back then either, but there's people who miss that stuff, and I'm like, why? That does not make any sense to me whatsoever.
I don't miss the tank controls in Resident Evil, but there are things about how Resident Evil was presented then that I think really good.
I mean the tank controls, the whole,
yeah,
or like the static environment. So like you know, it would change depending on where the camera's focused. Like sometimes up would be left and whatever. It's like, no, I don't miss that stuff. I don't miss that at all. It adds frustrations, but I don't know.
How many times like you walk into a room and the camera is like set at a different angle and you immediately run back out of the room.
Yes.
Yeah, the Bureau is a 2013 game, so it's definitely more modern in that regard. And it's set in the 1950s. So 1950s, and I think it's right after. It's not directly after World War II, but like a few years after. So I think it's like early 1950s. So like your FBI agents are all prim and proper, and it's a neat little kind of like throwback game. That's it for what I've been playing. There's a little bit of news, not a ton, but Earl, you mentioned Prince of Persia was in the news.
Yes, and it's great news. It's fantastic news. It's amazing. It's never that
great news.
But yes, word on the street, and it does seem to have been confirmed. Is that, pretty much shortly after the game released, Ubisoft decided they would not have a sequel to this game. They disbanded the team that was working on this game. The Lost Crown. I've been drinking. I just talked about this game. So they disbanded the group. Again, like some of this I'm hearing but apparently one of the reasons they didn't want to do a sequel is they were like, if we do a sequel, it might confuse people and ruin the game's tale. Like, okay, that's an excuse you tell yourself. I don't think you believe it, but that's an excuse you tell yourself. But the positive does seem to be that the team was disbanded, but it seems like they were just put on other projects instead of like wholesale being fired.
Oh, so they just let everyone go. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, the game did not sell well. I don't know whose fault that is. Is it if it's Ubisoft's fault or it's just like people are interested in that type of game?
I mean, calling a spade a spade. As much as it's not a huge brand. It's never been a huge brand. Like, I mean, going back to I remember back on the GameCube, Xbox, and PS2 era, like the Sands of Time was. I always forget if it was either given out for free. Or you bought another Ubisoft game, you got it for free. but at some point, that's how I ended up paying it. It's like I got it for free with something else. And then Ubisoft and other third parties, we've had this conversation before, where it's not a major title, it's not Assassin's Creed, it's not Just Dance. The expectation is also like you're going to get it half off, 75% off
in
a couple of. I got it for $20 2 months after it came out.
Yeah, Ubisoft games don't hold up well in terms of price. Like, if you wait, and you don't have to wait that long. If you wait a month or two.
That's the problem. You don't have to wait that long.
And the games are like, they're single-player games that, like, you're not missing anything by waiting.
Right.
As opposed to, like, Call of Duty, where if you don't want to miss that initial rush because then you're out. Or, like, if you play the multiplayer at NBA 2K, if you're not there at the beginning, you're missing a huge part of the experience. With like a single player game, don't matter when you play it.
And I don't know, like, so Ubisoft approves when their games go on sale, so they've kind of put themselves in this position where gamers know, like, I mean, Walt says it all the time, like, hey, like Ubisoft games, like, I'm not gonna buy it at launch because I know that if I want to play it, like, come October, it'll be half off or more, or as Earl said, he got this for $20 2 months after launch. It's like it's a $50 game. Like,
yeah,
And it's not just us noticing it. Like, everybody knows this. It's an open...
it's an open secret.
Plus, you get a better version of the game. Like, you get all those annoying bugs that were there at the beginning get fixed.
And Ed, if you get it physically, there's a good chance, if it's on discount, that you might end up with one of those games that, like, I think this one, like, it's like you have the DLC costume or whatever. It's like you still end up with, like, the launch edition. Because they have never got rid of the initial supply. So you still end up with getting a lot of that bonuses. I've said it in the past, and I'll say it again. I've always kind of considered it it's a FOMO tax. Because if you don't care about, like, I need to play the latest and greatest game right when it comes out, there's a lot of time. Like, one of the things I was waiting for, Target tends to do a buy two, get one free sale, and then Amazon tends to match it. That's a great opportunity to catch up with a bunch of games or movies or whatever I've been meaning to get throughout the year. That tended to be in like late October, early November as well. So it's a really good time to catch it out of the big titles. I honestly don't, like, I don't know if it would have done better if it was like a $30 downloadable title. I'm also very curious what this means for. As far as I know, they're still working on a remake of Sands of Time.
That I believe that is true, yes.
And I don't know if it's just a combination of that. Like, it is also a brand that has not really been in the spotlight. I mean, outside of the Sands of Time remake in like a decade. And there, there's a window of like, you can make a game and have people interested in sequels, and you can make a game that's like, this is not what I expected. And again, a really fun game, really enjoyable, recommend it right now, but that doesn't mean a lot of people are going to pick it up. It also came out in like January. There's also that dead, like, we just spent all of our money on Christmas stuff. Like, we got a bunch of new games then. But yes, it's a sad... I mean, the other thing is, I think this was also the team behind like Rayman Legends and Origins, and seeing them breaking up means that Ubisoft may or may not have as many interesting or unique or IP revivals that you would anticipate.
Well, sticking with that kind of thread there, there is a word that Ubisoft is in the early stages of a new Rayman game.
Dun, dun, dun.
But it's a remake, right?
So that is what some people are speculating, that... the original Rayman is maybe up for a remake, which I don't know. I think those was it Legends and Origins are the two best Rayman games. So I would prefer you continue down that thread. But
they've also remade those several times now.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and because I think this was tied to rumors, and I don't so rumors are not new, so it's always hard to. Report on them, but I think part of it, what came out with Rayman and some other games, was that Nintendo was approaching third parties to, advise them or ask them about porting certain games over. Mm-hmm. I think they are like, we're kind of all in on the Switch 2, whatever that may be, but we don't want any people high, because Nintendo, I think maybe on their handhelds are slightly better, but their consoles, they've always been terrible at the transition, where it's like, once their new system's out, the other thing just dies with them.
Right.
So I think what they want to do is like, we still want content, but we're not going to be producing it. So can we get some of you, people to produce in for us? And I think, let me see if I can pull some of this up, but I think, it was like Rayman, I think somebody, it was like Drivers 1 and 2. And again, who knows if this is going to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, then Driver, mm-hmm. Driver 1 and 2 and Rayman 1 come from that era that we were just kind of discussing, that the PlayStation 1 early 3D era. So yeah, they're kind of ripe for remakes.
Spencer Sofiakis. And I think, again, I assume this would, like, if you're smart, I don't think this would be Switch exclusive. But I mean, like, a lot of these games, like, it's far, like, Driver, I think Driver 1 and 2 are, you know, like, they have a reputation. People did enjoy them at the time. I think, you know, Rayman, I think people enjoyed it at the time. And, you know, Origins and Legends are a different beast, but, like, I think Rayman, I don't know, if, Rayman 2, I think, is a 3D one. I think Rayman 1 is still 2D.
Yes. I don't know if Rayman 2 is in 3D or if that is another one or if it was Rayman. I think it might have been Rayman 3D was the one that was the first 3D Rayman, but yeah, who knows?
Yeah. But it's an interesting rumor, an interesting strategy. But yes, that kind of ties into it. And again, you know, I assume if you can get somebody to pay for your remakes, why the hell not? What else do we have going on? I'll go on.
Just to clarify, you are correct. Rayman 2 is the first 3D one. Rayman 3D is the version that was ported to 3DS years later.
Very confusing.
Yes.
It's also weird because, like, Rayman has only, like, 5 games, but they have been ported time and time again.
Yeah, you would think, like, oh, there's I kind of thought, like, there's way more Rayman games, but there's really not. It's just they keep recycling the same ones.
It's kind of like The Last of Us, but The Last of Us has 2 games that have been remade 3 times.
Yeah.
Whatever. I did not realize this, or I would have tried to watch it. Yakuza premieres today.
Oh, I should give that a go.
Yeah, it's on Prime, so I'll probably check out the first episode. Well, I guess not for next week, or maybe we'll record on Wednesday. Who the hell knows? Outside of that, I'm trying to think of what else happened this week.
Monster Hunter demo is next week.
What was that? Tony?
The Monster Hunter Wilds demo is next week.
Yeah, I guess PlayStation 5, they get it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, it was the Paris Games Week was this week.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
they had a big thing. Ubisoft showed off all this stuff. Capcom showed off all this stuff, but the big thing was Monster Hunter Wilds with the PS5 exclusive. If you have like the PS5. Gosh, my brain is broken. The PS Plus.
Yes.
You get 2 days of early access, and then it's available on all platforms. After that.
Neat.
Nice. Crap, you mentioned something, and I don't remember if this is news or not. I kept on seeing this, and I kept on thinking. But is it Dead Cells? No, not Dead Cells. Vampire Survivors.
Yep.
Yes, that is new, right? I think I just, maybe I, because I always assume it's based off of Castlevania, already Castlevania stuff happened. Because, I mean, they did Contra, and it's like the same company, so.
Yep, no, this is brand new. Yeah, they're doing a whole Castlevania level, adding a bunch of different characters, new weapons. It's kind of cool. They just keep adding on to that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, great $5 investment. 2022's Game of the Year, or East Game of the Year contender. I really feel like we're in a holding pattern until the Game Awards with news and stuff.
There's one. It's not necessarily news, but I found that this article a little bit funny. Helldivers 2 Xbox release would need Sony and Phil to duke it out, Arrowhead says. I guess somebody asked the community manager for Arrowhead how, like, you know, would you guys port it to Xbox? And basically, like, well, Sony Sony owns all the publishing rights to it, so if Xbox wants it, they would have to kind of fight it out between themselves and to get it over there.
Yeah,
weird question to ask, but
doesn't seem likely.
Yeah. What was that, Earl?
Oh no, I just assume it's probably because like Xbox has wanted a bunch of stuff to PlayStation. That this is like a big multi-platform game. It's already on PC. I can kind of say, like, oh, why not bring it to the biggest audience possible?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I liked what I played of Helldivers. I think Tony did as well.
Oh, yeah.
We just haven't really gone back to it recently, so.
I enjoyed my time with it, but, like, that time ended.
yeah like I don't know, maybe like an Xbox release would revitalize some interest in it, but I think the people that really are into Helldivers are probably still really into Helldivers. It's just we're not in that community, so
right. I mean, we're not the type of person who would like choose a game ours the game that we play all the time,
right,
forever. Like, this is not going to happen.
Like, even if we end up playing Call of Duty, like, we're not going to play Call of Duty for 400 hours. Like, it's not going to become our only game, so. Yeah, Earl, you're right. Not much going on in terms of news. So, yeah. I think that's about it. Jeff did mention to ask you guys if you wanted to record on Wednesday because he thought Earl might want to go out on Halloween. Either way, we'll be back next week. Earl, say goodnight.
From the depths of hell.
Jesus. We are just
12 days from Election Day. Sleep well, ladies and gentlemen. Sleep well.
I mean, don't you know, we normally record this podcast in the depths of hell, like, isn't this...
We're already there.